Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started a week ago yesterday, talking about killing sacred cows. That's the title that I've put on this teaching, and basically it's just talking about how that religious traditions and doctrines of men make the word of none effect. And we have a lot of religious teaching and thinking that just void God's word, and it's like a sacred cow. When I was in India, there were cows that you couldn't touch because they believed that it was somebody who was reincarnated. And so these cows were untouchable. They could walk into a house. They could destroy anything you had, and you couldn't touch them. You couldn't do anything. Well, we have a lot of religious doctrines that people just won't touch. You know, I just got off the phone. I did an interview over in the U.K. because my programs on Christian Philosophy 2, which many of you, I'm sure, saw, they were pulled on one of the networks there, one that was based in England, and the regulating board in England pulled them because of my comments about homosexuality and abortion. And so anyway, the people that ran the network had a nighttime show, a live call-in show, where they interviewed me and asked me what I thought about it and gave me an opportunity to debate with a homosexual priest in the Catholic Church. And anyway, my point is that, see, there was a lot of things that as we talked about this, that it's just, they have these doctrines that void the Word of God. One of them that this homosexual priest kept bringing up over and over and over is that the Word of God isn't black and white. It's open to interpretation. He picks and chooses which parts he believes. And I tell you, if you're going to do that, in a sense, you are making yourself God. You aren't letting God tell you what's right. You just, on your own heart, on your own basis, you just pick and choose which parts you want to believe and which parts you don't believe. And I tell you, nobody's qualified to do that. We need somebody to tell us what to do. You know, my mother, I've told this story, but it really has impacted me, and it's a great illustration. But right before she died this year, she was asking me about the ministry and how it was going, and I was telling her, and she was just so blessed, and she said, "Andy, you know that that's God." And I said, "Yes, Mother, I know that's God." And she says, "You aren't smart enough to do this." And it's true. And my point is that you aren't smart enough to sit here and just pick and choose what you think was inspired and wasn't inspired. You can't assume that kind of a responsibility. We need to believe that God gave us the Bible. The Bible is inspired. And I could deviate from the topic here and just spend the whole time talking about the infallibility of God's Word and how this isn't a normal book. It is a supernatural book. But God has given us His Word, and if you don't believe that, see, like this Catholic priest I was talking about, he was sitting there saying that he just picks and chooses which parts he believes are inspired and which parts are for us today. You can't do that. That kind of a doctrine will void the Word of God. It'll make it of none effect. Another thing I want to talk about is that under the Old Testament, and again, I've said this previously, but I taught a series where I just went through and quickly dealt with some of the major doctrinal issues that I think have become sacred cows, doctrines that void the Word of God. And I didn't go into full detail because I've got teaching on all of these subjects that go into great detail on each one. So here on television, I'm only spending 2 days per topic. There's 5 teachings in this new set that I have entitled Killing Sacred Cows. We're now on number 4, and I'm only going to spend 2 days talking about this. And this is a subject that I have an entire series on entitled Redemption. And I would really encourage you to get that. Our announcer will be making information about how you can get that at the end of the program. But let me just say this, that the Old Testament, the way they dealt with sin was to offer the sacrifice, blood sacrifice of animals. And this did not purge sin. It didn't obliterate sin. What it did was just cover it. Matter of fact, a friend of mine, Bobby Crow, who's a pastor in Mexico, he just spoke recently here in Colorado Springs, and he was making this same point, and he illustrated it by taking one of these whiteboards, and he wrote sin on the whiteboard and underlined it. And then he had a cloth that he put over the board. And he said that's what the Old Testament sacrifices did. They just covered it. But then the devil comes along and picks up the cloth. And he would pick up the cloth and peek, and sin was still there. And he said, this is what the devil will do. Come back and remind you of your sin. And you look, and it's still there. And you still had this sin. You still had a sin consciousness. But then he took that cloth that he had covered the word sin with, and he just wiped out that whole word and obliterated. And he says, that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't cover your sin. Jesus obliterated it. He totally got rid of your sin. And see, there's a lot of people that do not understand the difference between the way it was dealt with in the Old Testament and the way it was dealt with in the New Testament. And because of this, many Christians who should be taking advantage of their full New Testament benefits are still living under the bondage and the inferior way of dealing with sin that it was dealt with in the Old Testament. And specifically, there's a lot of things I could say about that, but specifically, in the Old Testament, you had to offer a new sacrifice for sin every time you sinned. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures out of the book of Hebrews on this, but really, there's just too many examples for me to go inside all of this. It would make it into a week or 2 weeks teaching. And like I said, I'm trying to get this just teased and introduced in a 2 day period of time. You have to get the materials if you want the full thing. But if you go back and read scripture, you just would see that they offered sacrifices constantly. There was a morning and an evening sacrifice for the whole nation. Every time you sinned, every time a woman had a child, she had to offer a sacrifice. Every time there was a new moon, you had to offer a sacrifice. Every time you sinned, you had to offer a sacrifice. Every time you dedicated something, you had to offer a sacrifice. Every time that a firstborn of any of the animals or of children were born, there had to be a sacrifice. And then, on top of all of that, when they dedicated the temple, I forget the exact figure, but I think it was over 30,000 animals were sacrificed in 1 day at the dedication of the temple. Can you imagine what that scene must have been like? 30,000 animals sacrificed. I really can't imagine that. The pictures that I have are graphic. And it just defies imagination. But there was constant flowing of blood. And then there was a Day of Atonement every year where the priest went into the Holy of Holies with another sacrifice that was to cover all of the sins that they forgot. In other words, there was just constant flowing of blood because there was constant sin. And that's the way that that sin was dealt with in the Old Testament, because it was never wiped out. It was just covered. It was only a type and a shadow of the things that were coming. And I believe it was necessary because the people in the Old Covenant needed to recognize that God told Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. Death was the punishment for sin. As it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage of sin is death. And this had to be seared into the people's conscience so that they wouldn't go out and practice sin and allow Satan access to them. And so, under the Old Covenant, sin could not be totally obliterated because only the blood of Jesus could do that. No animal could ever take away sin. It was only symbolic. It only served to illustrate a principle. No animal sacrifice could ever equal the debt that you and I owed because of our sin. And so, it was only symbolic, but it was strictly enforced because we needed to be constantly in our face that every time we sinned, that was an offense against God that demands death. And if not your death, then God, under the Old Covenant, gave us animals that we could sacrifice to substitute for our own death. But it kept this image in front of us that the reason this animal is dying is because of what you've done. Actually, you know, if you were to go back and study this, and again, I'm just summarizing things. If you want the details, please get the series that goes into more detail and more explanation. But when the priest would offer a sacrifice, they had to lay their hands on the head of the animal and lean upon it. And you know, sometimes we read things like that and don't think about, well, what does this mean? Remember that all of this was symbolic. And what it means is when you lean upon that animal, you are putting your weight upon it. You are transferring your weight to this animal. It was symbolic of you transferring your sins to this animal. And that animal literally became sin for you in a symbolic way. It didn't actually happen, but symbolically that animal was taking your sins, and then you killed it and the animal died in your place. And it was necessary to do that under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, everything completely changes because Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's how John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the masses, by saying that. There's many scriptures that go along with this, and Jesus was sacrificed for us. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus literally took our sin. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus didn't just taste a little bit of sin. He didn't have just a symbolic amount of sin placed on him. Jesus literally became sin. That's offensive to some people, and they think, well, you're saying that Jesus was somehow or another less than God and wasn't holy. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was completely holy, and yet this holy, spotless Lamb took my sin and your sin and became defiled, not through his own sin, but by him taking our sin, so much so that he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's actually a quotation from Psalms chapter 22. And in the next verse, it tells you why God forsook him, because the next verse says, but you are holy, O Lord, that inhabits the praises of Israel. And God couldn't stand to look at sin. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was made sin, and God the Father forsook him. The judgment that should have come upon you and me was placed upon Jesus. And Jesus was condemned and died and separated from his Father, because that's what would have happened to us. And Jesus took that. But the good news is that he rose from the dead. He paid the price. And you know, his blood was so pure. You know, I don't know how to get this point across to you, because most people don't think this way, and we just don't really esteem God the way we should. But God was so holy. We look at people and say, that's a holy person. That's a relative statement compared to other people who are absolutely just pagan and sinners. Some people look holy. Some people would look at me holy because I've never taken a drink of liquor, never smoked a cigarette or done those kind of things. But I tell you, compared to God, I at my best state am vile. I'm talking about not the born again part of me, just the natural part of me. I was polluted. I was corrupted. Now, I've been born again in my spirit, and I'm thrilled with who I am in Christ, but my flesh is still flesh. And there is no comparison between me and God. God is pure holiness. He was pure light. There was no sin. There was no iniquity in him. And the point I'm trying to get across is that his blood was so pure relative to ours that one drop of Jesus' blood was worth more than all of the lives of every human on this planet that has or will ever live. And there's a lot of people watching this program that say, oh, how could you make that statement? That's just one person. No, he wasn't just one person. He was God. And he was worth more than all of the human race all put together. If the Lord was to tarry another 1,000 years and the human race just explodes and there's tens of billions, trillions of people on the planet, Jesus' life was worth more than all of humanity. I don't care how many people there ever get to be. And so one drop of his blood paid the price, and then he rose from the dead. And now that He rose from the dead, He took His blood and put it on the mercy seat, and He paid for all of our sins. All of sins in the past, all of the sins in the present, all of the sins in the future have already been paid for. And because of this, we do not have to go back and constantly be sin conscious and confessing our sin and repenting and asking God over and over and over to forgive us. Remember that the Old Testament sacrifices were only types and shadows. They were symbolic. And there was a purpose for it. There was a reason for it, and it was necessary. But now we've got the real thing, and we have been purged from all of our sin, even sins that we haven't committed yet. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of this program how that I was on this Revelation TV in the UK, and I was defending some of my statements against homosexuality, and there was a Catholic priest who was criticizing me and saying, "You aren't expressing love." And I said, "Man, I do love you." And I said, "I am not criticizing you. I just am saying that your lifestyle is wrong, and I'm telling you the truth because I do love you." And anyway, one of my points in bringing all of this out was that the interviewer, this man Howard, said, "So are you saying," or no, excuse me, it was another caller, and he was actually a partner of mine. He called in and he says, "You preach grace and preach that God isn't condemning us, and yet you're saying that these homosexuals, that this lifestyle is wrong, and that sounds condemning. Aren't you judging them?" And I went, I can take this exact thing that I'm saying right here and show that I believe God forgave all of our sins, past, present, and even future tense sins. I believe that homosexuality is forgiven. I believe that drug abuse is forgiven. I believe that adultery is forgiven. I believe that murder is forgiven. Whatever sin you can come up with, Jesus has already dealt with it. People do not go to hell for homosexuality or being a lesbian or abortion. What they go to hell for, according to John chapter 16, is the one sin of not believing on Jesus. That's all that the Holy Spirit is convicting people of. He is out to show people you have to believe on Jesus. Jesus paid for all of our sins. And so there's a lot of people that they say, "Well, this is confusing because you're saying now that sin is paid for, and then on the other hand, you're saying it's wrong to live this way." Just because your sin is paid for doesn't mean that it's the right thing for you to do. If I was to say, regardless of what you do, I'm going to love you, that would be grace on my part. I would be totally separating it from your performance. But does that mean that it's all right for you to just go do whatever? It means I would love you regardless what you did. But no, there are consequences to your actions. And when I was teaching on homosexuality, I showed from statistics that homosexuals tend to live statistically 20 years less than those who aren't homosexuals. They tend to have much more spousal abuse. They tend to have two to three times the suicide rate, 50% more depression, and just on and on and on you could go. I'm saying those things not because I'm condemning you. And some people can't connect these things. They just think, well, if God has forgiven it, well, then it doesn't matter if you do it. Yes, it does. It's not that God is going to judge you. God has placed all of your judgment upon Jesus. And every time you mess up, you don't have to go back and get born again, re-saved. It's been paid for. But every time you sin, you open up a door to the devil. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you go live in sin, then you have just yielded yourself to the author of that sin, which is Satan. And according to John 10:10, Satan comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. He is going to come against you. And if you go out and sin, there's going to be consequences. Satan will come in and steal your joy. He'll steal your health. He'll steal your wealth. He'll steal your relationships. Satan will come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. So you don't want to live in sin. But God has already forgiven that sin. If you accept Jesus, He loves you and your sins are forgiven, past, present, and even the sins you haven't committed yet. I know that what I'm saying right here is just nearly overwhelming for some people because this is so radically different. And many of you are just swallowing hard at this. This is what I call a sacred cow. this religious doctrine that every time you sin, you lose your relationship with God. And there's two interpretations. Some people will say you lose it completely, so that if you were born again and then you sin, you are now lost. And if you were to die before you get that sin confessed, you'd go straight to hell, even though you may have been born again for 20 years. Or a lesser interpretation, but the same thing, is people will say, oh no, you don't go to hell every time you sin because you're saved and now your salvation is secure, but you lose all of your benefits. You lose access to God. You can't have any joy and peace. God won't answer your prayers. God won't anoint you. He won't use you. And that's really the same doctrine with just lesser consequences. In other words, your sin is still being held against you. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 19, it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing men's trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Boy, this is powerful. It says God was in Christ not imputing. That means not laying to our account, not holding against us our trespasses. Does that mean that it's free then to go live in sin? Well, you could do it and God's not going to hold them against you. If you're born again, you would still go to heaven. But boy, you are going to suffer. You are going to have Satan come in and cause all kinds of misery. You could still go to heaven. As a matter of fact, you probably get there quicker. Because if you go out and live in sin, Satan is going to come kill you. You're going to die of something and you'll get there quicker. God still loves you, but sin still will cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay, take you further than you want to go. You do not want to live in sin. I am not advocating sin, but I am saying that there is a huge difference in sin, the way it was dealt with under the Old Covenant and the way it was dealt with under the New Testament. In the Old Covenant, it was just kind of covered, and symbolically there was something. In a sense, God was paying for your sins on credit. But in the New Covenant, we aren't looking forward to something and just using a symbolic thing and still have sin in our lives. No, it has been obliterated. Jesus, for those who accept the atonement that Jesus made for them, sin has been wiped out. Sin is not an issue between you and God if you have made Jesus Christ your Lord. If you accept His salvation that has been offered and the redemption that He purchased, then your sin, past, present, and even future sins, the sins that you haven't even committed yet, are already dealt with. God is not angry. He is not punishing you. He is not going to deal with you based on your personal holiness. He's going to deal with you based on what Jesus did for you. Man, that is awesome. And by me saying the things that I've said, now I've basically been just describing and painting an overall picture. Tomorrow on our program, I'm going to get into Hebrews chapter 9 and show you scriptures that will verify every single thing I've said today, straight out of Scripture. And if you can get this, then I guarantee you what it'll do is kill this sacred cow, this religious doctrine that every time you sin, you lose your relationship with God, in part at least, or maybe completely, but it puts all of the burden of salvation on your back. You need to be set free from that. So I encourage you to listen in again tomorrow. Also, listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how you can get this new material entitled Killing Sacred Cows and also the companion teaching on redemption.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get a DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1063C for the CD, T3207D for the live DVD, or T1063D for the as seen on TV DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth teaching in the Killing Sacred Cows series titled God's View of Sin is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fourth CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK160C.
This new teaching that I have entitled Killing Sacred Cows is really good, but you know, it's not as in-depth. If I was to go into in-depth teaching on every one of these five things I've mentioned in here, it would take months. And so what we're doing is this fourth teaching entitled God's View of Sin. The brief explanation is the fourth teaching in this five-part series in Killing Sacred Cows. But you could go ahead and ask for the teaching on redemption, and that goes into great detail saying many of the things that I covered today, and that is available in addition to this CD album, our DVD album, and also our live DVD album from a Gospel Truth seminar. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you all that information, and please call or write today.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Redemption. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1056C. To write us, use the address on your screen. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.